казала, я умру, я зробив тобі трунгу. Я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела. Ти ж мене молодого з ума зробила.
And from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, that was the Voloshki Trio from their CD Fantasia, and they were joined by Ron Cahoot of Toronto, and that was a traditional Ukrainian folk song, a very popular one. Tij mene pidmanula, you seduced me. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, та запрошую на радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо Крінського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую за ваш намір слухати на мою програму. Вас чекають цікаві новини і чудову українську музику. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Павліна. Thank you so much for joining me. We have got a great program lined up for you. We'll be taking another look at propaganda and genocide, and this was discussed at a conference put on by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter in Ukraine last June. As well, we have a book review of Red Notice, and this is Bill Browder's book about Sergei Magnitsky and corruption in Putin's Russia. And to give it a little more context, we also have an interview with the author, which comes to us courtesy Ukraine Today. So stay tuned for all of that. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Millennia from Edmonton from their CD Bratia and the story of Oresia.
Ходи, Орисю, на гору на леску. Не ходи, ходи, Орисю, а грай на сопілці.
Ой, гой, дриці, дриці, ой, гой, дриці, дриці.
Не ходи, Орис, на гору, а грай на сопілці.
Ой, гой, дриці, дриці, ой, гой, дриці, дриці.
Не ходи на лесу гору, а грай на сопілці. Воного орі на лиці, туман над ярами. Воного орі на лиці, чорти від марками. Чи срохи і дететис?
Ой, гой, дриці, дриці, ой, гой, дриці, дриці.
Там шугає та калеча, срохи і дететис. Круторогі, круторогі, очі як лущата. Жінка в нього чорна жаба, прикрита вусата. Жінки птінця свій пані молодиці.
Ой, гой, дриці, дриці, ой, гой, дриці, дриці.
От такі жінки птінця свій пані молодиці. Чоршувати та багати хочу п'ю бутілку. Може їй платити златом та водить до шинку.
Ой, гой, дриці, дриці, ой, гой, дриці, дриці.
Не ходи, Орис, нагору, а чекай на принця.
Ой, гой, дриці, дриці, ой, гой, дриці, дриці.
Не ходи, Орис, нагору, а чекай на принця.
Thank you. тільки для красоньки тримала. І в йому робити не дала, не дала, тільки для красоньки тримала.
And the delightful Oksana Mucha from her CD Reshato and a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Porizalam Palchik, I Cut My Finger. Up next is the National Bandura Chorus of Ukraine, and this is from a CD of folk songs that comes to us courtesy.com recordings in Toronto. And this is a traditional Ukrainian patriotic song, Vishlev Poli Kosari, Reapers Went Mowing in the Field. Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Peter Baker. Toxic terminology and the sinister manipulation of language can lead to murder. A recent conference held in the Ukrainian cities of Kyiv and Lviv in early June underlined the dangers inherent in the misuse of the spoken and written word. The seduction of propaganda, mass violence in Ukraine in the 20th and 21st centuries, featured leading international and Ukrainian academics and public figures in wide-ranging discussions of the lethal impact of propaganda. Their chilling analysis showed how the mechanisms of propaganda used by totalitarian regimes provoked and legitimized violence against three peoples: the Jews in Hitler's Holocaust, the Ukrainians during Stalin's Holodomor, or terror famine, and the Crimean Tatars in their deportation. The conference also outlined how current academic knowledge can help counteract the politicized and mythologized interpretations of the tragic events of the past. Dr. Wendy Loewer, a leading American scholar of the Holocaust, reminded us that truth is the greatest enemy of the totalitarian state. The Nazis suppressed free speech and alternative sources of information, severely narrowing the means for individual thought. With the Nazi regime in full control of information and propaganda, one can better understand the cynical comment by Propaganda Minister Joseph Goebbels that if you tell a lie big enough and repeat it often enough, people will believe it. Dr. Loewer explained how the exclusion of Jews from society was done openly, thus enlisting the complicity of the surrounding non-Jewish population. Vilifying photos, notorious anti-Semitic books or films, and other material degraded the Jews, poisoning society, and laying the groundwork for physical extermination. Professor Lyudmila Hrinevich, director of the Holodomor Ukrainian Research Center at the National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine, explained how the Soviet propaganda machine prepared the psychological foundation for the famine against the Ukrainian peasantry in the 1930s. A mass propaganda campaign was created to first define exactly who was the enemy. Labels created divisions in society and instilled the idea of us versus them. The targeted enemies were demonized and then dehumanized as dangerous predators who deserved persecution and extermination. Hrinevich highlighted the fact that this campaign was created to legitimize a crime. Furthermore, the efforts to create a utopian communist society silenced for generations any discussion of crimes in the past. Crimean researcher Dr. Gulnara Bekarova addressed the fate of the Crimean Tatars, uprooted by Stalin from a homeland they had settled in the 14th century. Demonization through radio broadcasts was a preparatory step to social stigmatization and the marginalization of a minority labeled a traitor nation. Exiled to the wilds of Central Asia, the Tatars struggled for decades to return to their historic homeland, which is now tragically once again under hostile Russian occupation. Propaganda was part of the preparation for the framework of mass killings and destruction of communities in the 20th century. The conference helped us to achieve a deeper understanding of the nature and threat of destructive propaganda. This understanding is essential at the beginning of the 21st century, where we witness Russian propaganda becoming a tool not only to provoke inter-ethnic hatred, but also to discredit and destroy the Ukrainian democratic space as well. In a future segment, we will return to the conference's themes of propaganda in our time, most notably in the use of disinformation and Putin's war in Donbass. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baeger. Until next time, shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Up next, a group from Nelson, British Columbia, called Heavy Shtetl. Here they are with Odessa Bulgarish. Thank you. Вислухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Hello and welcome to Ukraine Today. I'm Volodymyr Soloub. Joining me now is the founder and CEO of Hermitage Capital, Mr. William Browder. Mr. Browder, welcome to Ukraine Today.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Browder, in your opinion, will the Russian people eventually realize that they are being stolen from, they are being lied to, they are being manipulated?
I think that as the economic situation gets worse, it becomes more and more of a high probability. But you have to understand that there are two factors that will determine whether there's a Maidan in Russia. The first is how angry people get on one side, and then the second factor is how fearful, how much oppression, how much fear Putin can put into their minds on the other side. And right now, the fear outweighs the anger. But as the economic crisis gets worse, the anger could get worse. Which means one natural reaction is for Putin to continue to raise the fear. So it's an ongoing thing. But like for example, a couple weeks ago they passed a new law that allows the FSB to fire on crowds, basically legalizing what the Berkut did on Maidan, killing all of those demonstrators. And this is obviously Putin being afraid of a Maidan happening in Russia.
So do you think there is a probability that there might be a Maidan?
Well, there's a probability, but there's also a probability that
if they come, they'll be shot at.
Well, I think the greater probability is that Putin follows the North Korean Zimbabwe model of just continue to shut down, close down, and repress. In hopes of keeping everything under control.
In one of your interviews, Mr. Browder, you said that in the beginning, Putin was all about stealing money. Now that he has stolen as much as he could, you also said that you consider him to be the richest person on the earth. And now that he has all the money he wants, all the money he needs, what is he after right now?
Well, now he's after staying alive. So what he understands is, so he stole all this money, and the money that he stole, he got, but he never offered, so he took the money for himself, and the Russian people didn't get any of that money. And so the Russian people started to grumble, and they started to get angry, and they started to demonstrate, and people were going onto the streets and demonstrating in Russia. And he understood that if... He could never actually leave power, because if he left power, he would end up having his money taken away, he'd go to jail, and he might even die. And so for Putin, there is no exit strategy from his current money stealing, his sort of history of money stealing. And so now he's gotten all this money, and he realizes that he won't be able to keep it, and he might not be able to stay alive unless he stays in power. And so his only objective right now is to stay in power. And so why did he take Crimea? Why did he invade Ukraine? Why did he make Ukraine an enemy? I mean, Ukraine, if there's two countries that are more similar than any countries in the world, it's Russia and Ukraine. He created a fake enemy. It was like Wag the Dog, this famous American movie, where he created a fake enemy. He manufactured it completely out of propaganda on the airwaves in order to create a war so he could distract people's attention from the idea that they were being stolen from. And that's what the Ukraine war is all about. It's about his corruption.
Last year, Mr. Browder, you published a book, Red Notice, which is called Red Notice, a true story of high finance murder and one man's fight for justice. And in this book, you told your personal story of doing business in Russia, being thrown out of the country, and also the story of the tragic death of Sergei Magnitsky. And I noticed that on your personal website, the Russian version of the copy, you can download it for free. So how many Russian version copies were downloaded?
Quite a few. I mean, tens of thousands. It's a very popular book in Russia. And a very popular book in the West. It's a we haven't been allowed to publish it in Russia. We couldn't. I have 25. It's published in 25 languages around the world. But the one country where there was a de facto ban on publication was Russia. Nobody is allowed. We can't promote it in Russia, but it's distributing sort of. You know, this is the modern day Samizdat, where it's being distributed sort of hand to hand over the internet, so that people can read it.
You said that there were tens of thousands of copies downloaded in Russian language. Do you know of any effect your book had within Russian society?
Well, the.
It exposes quite so vigilantly.
Putin hates the Magnitsky story and hates me, because what my story does, more than any other story, is it proves that Putin is not a nationalist, but a crook. Because here, the story is very simple. You had the story of Sergei Magnitsky is about a young patriot who sees a terrible crime being committed against his country, reports the crime, and then discovers that the government cares more about the people who stole the money than they do about him. And those people then torture him, kill him. The government covers up the crime, and then they put him on trial. And then Putin personally gets involved in the cover-up of a murder. And this story, there is no plausible deniability for Putin and for the Russian government in this story. This is a story of just true evil. And people always say, well, Putin doesn't know about this, or Putin doesn't know about that. Putin, in this case, knows about everything. And he got on stage and he lied about the death of Sergei Magnitsky and tried to cover it up. And so for anybody who knows this story, this shatters the illusion of Putin.
When you say that Putin knows about everything, are you saying that he learned about this story after all happened, or he was in this fraud from the very beginning? Because when I was reading your book, and when I was also watching these four serious clips which you made, which your team made, called The Untouchables, which exposed and detailed and proved the theft of by the, I would say, mid-level government officials, tax officials, and the Ministry of Interior officials, the theft from the state budget of 230 US million, and they were trying to frame you along the way. I couldn't believe that this has gone under the radar of President Putin or his inner circle. So was it really the case, or he was in it from the very beginning?
Well, so I believe that this is just one of thousands, maybe 10,000s, of crimes. There's so much money being stolen like this, you can't even imagine. And I would imagine that the minister who's in charge of this particular enterprise, there would be a cabinet minister in charge who gets a lot of money. But I'm sure that Putin gets his cut of every crime in the country. Did he know about it? Was he sitting there plotting and scheming? Surely not. He's got more important things to do. But I'm sure he receives a cash flow from all of these crimes. And most importantly, he definitely did know after the crime was committed, when he started to get involved in the cover-up. And there we have proof.
You certainly know how to fight the information war against the Russian government. You have been doing this for many, many years. From what you're seeing the Ukrainian government is doing right now, what would you advise them to do additionally or differently to be able to effectively combat the Russian propaganda machine?
Well, the thing that worked for us was just taking granular, raw facts and presenting them in a simple way so that everybody could understand what was going on. And so every time the Russians would do something, we would just collect all the facts of what they did. We had court cases in Russia and documents, etc. And we put it on a website, and we put it into press releases. And on a granular, day-by-day basis, we shared with the world what was going on. And it's not about propaganda. It's about just sharing proper information. And it may be easier in a certain way for a small group like us to do it than for a big country like Ukraine to do it. But there has to be a very sort of day-by-day, granular, sort of evidence-based expose of what the Russians are doing. And if it's done without any slant or any bias, but just evidence-based presentation of the facts speak for themselves. One doesn't have to go beyond that. And it's just presenting it over and over and being very persistent and having all this stuff out there.
How do you make sure that the people believe your facts and not the facts which are being put forth by the other side?
Well, the answer is that it's a struggle. It's a day-to-day struggle. We continue to this day of them putting out lies that we have to counteract. But over a period of time, their credibility continues to sink and our credibility continues to rise. And I think the same thing could be true with Ukraine if it follows this strategy.
Well, let's hope that Ukraine indeed will be able to follow this strategy and find the information war in the right way. Mr. Browder, many thanks for finding the time to come and talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This has been the founder and CEO of Hermitage Capital, once the largest foreign investor in Russia, and now Putin's number one enemy, Mr. William Browder. I'm Volodymyr Soloub. Thank you for watching Ukraine Today.
An apt song, an original composition performed by Ukrainian-British singer Diana Mess. Все світ, World Support Ukraine. Welcome to Knizhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik. Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knizhka Corner, we will be discussing Bill Browder's fascinating new book, Red Notice. Red Notice is a roller coaster ride through post-Soviet Russian history. Bill Browder was one of the architects of Russia's growing economy during the privatization era. He saw an opportunity to make a great deal of money and created the Hermitage Capital Investment Fund based in Moscow. Browder became the largest foreign investor in Russia. In 2000, his fund ranked as the best performing emerging market fund in the world. However, on November the 13th, 2005, Bill Browder was expelled from Russia. He would later become one of Russia's harshest critics after the imprisonment and murder of his Russian lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky. He grew up in the United States as the grandson of the leader of the American Communist Party. In his teens, Browder rebelled against his family's ideology. He studied business at Stanford University in California. After graduation, he moved to England to work for the Boston Consulting Group and Robert Maxwell. His first job led him to Poland, where he discovered the immense opportunity for profit in Poland's privatization process. After setting up his own investment fund called Hermitage Capital, Browder became immensely wealthy and successful. However, his wealth and fame did not help him when he was targeted by Putin's henchmen in 2005. His outspoken criticism of Russian corruption put him at odds with the Russian government, and he was banned from Russia. He managed to get his money out of the country, but the Russian government leveled trumped-up charges of fraud and tax evasion against his company. One of his lawyers, Sergei Magnitsky, exposed the massive tax fraud invented by the Russian officials. He was thrown into jail and died from lack of medical treatment for the complications of pancreatitis and a severe beating by prison officials. Browder dedicated Red Notice to Magnitsky and called him the bravest man I've ever known. Magnitsky's death changed Bill Browder's life. Not only did he feel responsible for Magnitsky's murder in prison, but he also wanted to ensure that this injustice should be punished. During his campaign to seek justice for Magnitsky, Browder became a powerful critic of Vladimir Putin's government. His efforts culminated in American sanctions against Magnitsky's persecutors. Browder transformed himself from a rampant capitalist into a crusader for justice. Red Notice is a very well-written book about Russian finance, power, and corruption. It reads like a novel, but the shocking aspect of this story is that it is based on the truth. Readers will be fascinated by the intricacies and dishonesty of the Russian government, financial, and legal system. The power of the oligarchs and Putin's support of their activities shows how utterly corrupt the Russian system is today. Browder's efforts to implement sanctions against Russian lawmakers have facilitated the current sanctions against Russia for their illegal annexation of Crimea and invasion of eastern Ukraine. Bill Browder's campaign to seek justice for Magnitsky is truly admirable. It almost makes readers forget about his shameless profit-seeking in the post-Soviet era and his support for Vladimir Putin in the early days of his political career. Browder has transformed himself into a human rights activist who uses the media very effectively. However, Browder lives a very dangerous life, since he could be targeted for murder at any time, like other critics of Russia. The recent murder of opposition leader Boris Nemtsov is an indication that no one is safe. Readers will definitely wonder if they will be reading about Browder's mysterious death in the near future. Red Notice is available at Chapters Indigo and Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Я до тебе прийду, зупинюся в покорі, тільки ти не питай, не хвилюй. Намалюй мені ніч, коли падають зорі. Чом згорить
popular Ukrainian jazz group Chocolat with Namaloy Meninich, Paint Me the Night. Coming up next, we're going to keep it in the mellow mood. We have Olya from the East Coast of the United States and a song from her CDs, Hadai, Remember Me, and Senaya Lubo, This Ain't Love.
Ходить сум з очей і щезає немов фатаморган. Хтось в душі плаче слізний гар, я чи це все вина вона. Це моя плаче самота. Сльози гарячі пролива, хоч схоплю душу, вірити мушу, бо ще не завела. Ще з нею, як той дим, разом з ним, так ще заєш ти.
Зроблю, я в почуттях усе довкола втоплю, бо я тебе. Горлянка клякне, а триклятий язик до слів таких ще досі не звик. Прикро, відстань кроку назад, я ж на сцені наче мача супер-пупер-герой. Беру гітари, овердрайв, на повну силу врублю. Що я тебе? Не бордить та не пре, що ж так стримує мене? Пусті потуги, мабуть, дійсно дарма. Досить. Остання спроба, чи то пан, чи пропав. Просто ближче до серця тебе пригорну і на вухо тихенько скажу, що я тебе люблю. Я тебе люблю, люблю,
себе люблю.
And that was Otvin Ta with an answer to Olya. Love. Lyubov. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB, live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM, and elsewhere in the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get links to podcast feeds of all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page, and do check out our blog. Нежал ми вже скінчили нашу програму, пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас цими словами мудрості. Села, спокій, добро і радість лише в тій державі буває, де народ розумного і доброго воздя має. And our proverb of the week translates as, strength, peace, prosperity, and happiness exist only in countries where the people have a wise and good leader. And with that, we've come to the end of our program. To wrap it up, one last song by the Playboy Band from Edmonton, Alberta, and the Kolomeka in C minor. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.
Ой, пасіче, старий коня, пасіче, пасіче, як я піду до дівчини, сам ще вернеться. Юбка файна. Пам'ятаю, дівчонайко, як вона чудувала, коло тої кірничею звідси воду брала. Що би я врна водою, хитаю собою, ця ти дуже так самена, як я за тобою. Що віяли на воду, на вулавській левші, як не можу, котру люблю, не було жінеусе. Ой, люблю я дівчинку.